In the time it takes you to blink, about 300 milliseconds, your smartphone will have fought and won over 300 invisible wars just to keep this audio playing.
Yeah, it is literally a war zone. I mean, it's a war zone of interference, noise, and just millions of competing signals.
Right, because we look at our phones and we just see these, sleek, calm pieces of glass. But the reality is that the space right between your hand and the nearest cell tower is a hyperfast, chaotic battleground.
Completely chaotic.
Right.
And the rules of physics governing that space, well, they're shifting faster than the human brain can even process.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we are opening up a 2026 research paper that kind of completely flips our understanding of how our devices handle that exact war zone.
It really does. The paper is called A Universal Neural Receiver That Learns at the Speed of Wireless by Liu, Zhang, Yi, and Calderbank.
And the mission for today is to understand exactly how this invisible sub-millisecond battle is happening right now inside your device. Because every time you walk down a busy street while, say, streaming a video or scrolling your feed, your phone is desperately fighting to untangle the airwaves.
Exactly. And this research is basically laying down the architectural blueprint for 6G networks. It explores a totally new kind of artificial intelligence.
Which is super interesting because we're talking about moving away from those massive pre-trained AI models we see in the news every single day, right?
Right, away from those and moving toward what they call an AI native physical layer. So a neural receiver that physically learns its environment on the fly.
To really get why traditional math and even traditional AI is failing here, we first have to talk about the cellular air interface.
Yeah, the air interface. This is the actual radio link between the UEs, which is just telecom jargon for user equipment, meaning your phone, and the GNBs.
And GNBs are the base stations or the cell towers, right?
Exactly, that's the link.
So we hear the term speed of wireless thrown around a lot, but how fast is that, like practically speaking?
Well, it's not a continuous unbroken hose of data. The transmission is chopped up into tiny, tiny slices of time. First, the data is partitioned into radio frames that are 10 milliseconds long.
Okay, 10 milliseconds, still pretty fast.
Right, but then those are divided into 1 millisecond subframes, and it goes even deeper. Depending on how the network is set up, those subframes are chopped further into slots.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and a single slot can be 62.5 microseconds long.
Microseconds.
Yeah.
So we are literally talking millionths of a second.
Yes, millions. And that specific tiny window is called the transmit time interval, or TTI.
The TTI.
Right. The TTI is basically the heartbeat of a cellular network. Every single sub-millisecond TTI, the base station, looks at all the phones trying to get data, looks at its available radio spectrum, and has to decide who gets what.
Okay, let's unpack this because the spectrum isn't just one big swimming pool of data, right? It's divided up too.
Correct. The spectrum is divided into physical resource blocks. You can think of a frequency band like a super wide highway.
Okay.
And a physical resource block, or PRB, is a specific cluster of lanes, specifically 12 narrow lanes called subcarriers. The tower has to map users to these specific blocks every single TTI.
Let me see if I can picture the math on this because the paper gave this really simplified example that honestly just blew my mind.
Oh, the scheduling math. Yeah, it's wild.
Right. So let's say a tower has just five of these resource blocks available and it needs to serve five phones.
Which is a tiny network, by the way.
Right. Tiny. If the tower schedules a maximum of two phones to share a single block, which is a standard multi-user setup, the number of possible scheduling options, every single TTI is 30 to the power of five,
Yeah.
which is over 24 million.
24.3 million, to be exact.
Wait, hold on. Over 24 million scheduling options evaluated every single sub-millisecond.
Yes.
That sounds completely impossible for a computer to calculate in time.
It is staggering. And remember, that's just the baseline math for a tiny, highly simplified scenario. In the real world, you also have massive interference.
Right, because the signals bounce everywhere.
Exactly. Cellular networks are basically interference limited. If you put two users in the same resource block, their signals bleed into each other. That's called intra-cell interference.
Okay.
And then, you have the tower down the street blasting its own signals, causing inter-cell interference.
So the network isn't just dealing with traffic, it's dealing with a multi-level traffic jam where the lanes are shifting and all the cars are honking at the exact same time.
Perfectly put. And to punch through that noise, the network uses something called link adaptation. It constantly changes its modulation scheme.
And modulation is basically how densely you pack data into the radio wave, right?
Exactly. So the paper mentions jumping from QPSK to 1024 QAM.
What does that actually look like in practice? Like, how big of a jump is that?
Well, QPSK is a very basic modulation format. It sends just 2 bits of data per symbol. It's highly robust. Think of it like shouting simple syllables like yes or no across a really crowded, noisy room.
Okay, so the other person is probably going to understand you even over all that background noise.
Right, but shouting one syllable at a time is terrible for, you know, downloading a 4K movie.
Yeah, you'd be waiting all day.
Precisely. So to speed things up, the network switches to 1024 QAM, which packs 10 bits of data per symbol.
Wow, okay.
But doing that is like trying to rapidly whisper a highly complex, nuanced sentence across that exact same loud room. The slightest bit of background noise, slightest interference, and the message is completely ruined.
And add on top of that, they are also changing the number of antennas being used simultaneously, right? Moving from 1 to 8 spatial MIMO streams.
Yeah, that's called rank adaptation.
So the lanes, the vehicles, the density of the data, and the interference patterns are entirely rearranging themselves every fraction of a millisecond.
Yes, and the traditional math equations that mobile networks use to manage all this are just hitting a wall. The environment is simply too complex.
Which is why the logical move for the telecom industry has been to look at artificial intelligence. You know, just let a neural network handle the complexity.
Right, it makes total sense on paper. We see AI doing incredible things everywhere else. But the researchers point out a massive flaw here.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about this, because if an AI model can write a brilliant essay or pass the bar exam, why is it struggling so much to figure out a radio signal?
It comes down to how those AI models learn. Large language models rely on offline training. They are fed massive data sets in a static data center over months. They learn the patterns, and then they are deployed into the world.
Okay.
In the 5G or 6G space, if you train an AI offline using, say, the radio environment of dense skyscrapers in Manhattan,
it's going to completely panic when you take your phone on vacation to a sprawling suburb in Texas.
Exactly. The physical environment is entirely different. The researchers call this generalization uncertainty.
Because there are just infinite mismatches.
Right. Maybe the tower in Texas has 16 antennas instead of 4. Maybe the subcarrier spacing is different, ranging from 15 to 240 kHz.
Mm.
Are you indoors, outdoors, moving fast, or standing still?
So an offline AI simply cannot generalize to all these hyper-fast physical variations.
It can't. So offline training is out. You have to train the AI online. You have to teach it over the air, in real time, while you were actively using the phone.
But that creates a massive data bottleneck, right? To adapt in real time, the receivers rely on reference signals.
Yes, pilot-based channel estimation. These are tiny signals the cell tower sends out specifically so your phone can estimate the channel conditions.
It's essentially pinging the room to see what the acoustic echo looks like.
Exactly. And the paper highlighted a statistic here that genuinely stopped me in my tracks.
Oh, the resource element stat.
Yeah. In a standard 4x4 MIMO OFDM system, out of 168 available resource elements in a block,
only 16 of them carry training data.
Just 16. The rest are all filled with user data. And you can't sacrifice user data to send more training signals, or the connection speed basically drops to zero.
Okay, I want to make sure I am visualizing this correctly. We have an unimaginably complex mathematical environment changing every microsecond.
Oh, yeah.
We want to use AI to solve it, but we only give the AI 16 tiny data points to map the entire room.
That's the reality.
It's like taking someone who studied for years for a history exam, that's the offline training part, and the moment they sit down, you hand them a complex calculus test.
A great analogy.
And to make it worse, you give them exactly 16 practice questions to learn the entire subject of calculus before the timer runs out a microsecond later.
Yeah, that's the reality the air interface. The AI lacks the data and it lacks the time. It is mathematically impossible to train a massive neural network from scratch under those conditions.
So how do they solve that? I mean, if offline AI is too rigid and online AI is starved of data, we seem completely stuck.
This is the core breakthrough of the paper. The researchers stopped treating this as a pure computer science data problem.
Okay, what did they treat it as?
A physics problem. They leaned into a universal truth of wireless communications. The transmission and reception of any waveform in any part of the radio spectrum is governed by a physical process called convolution.
Convolution. Okay, I've heard the term in, like, image processing, but what does it mean in a physical radio environment?
Well, when a radio signal leaves the cell tower, it doesn't travel in one perfect straight line to your phone. It bounces off buildings, passing cars, the ground, trees.
Right.
All of those reflections arrive at your phone's antenna in slightly different times. That physical blurring effect, that smearing of the signal over time, that is convolution.
Okay, so it's almost like, think of the acoustics of a massive ancient cathedral.
Oh, like this.
If someone stands at the altar and shouts, the sound bounces off the stone pillars and the vaulted ceilings. By the time it reaches you in the back row, the voice is distorted into a long, messy echo.
A perfect analogy. And therefore, the entire job of the receiver in your phone is simply deconvolution. It needs to mathematically undo that cathedral echo, subtract the noise, and isolate the original shout.
Which completely reframes what the AI should be doing.
Exactly.
If traditional AI is trying to learn the English language entirely from scratch every time someone shouts, this new neural receiver doesn't need to learn English at all.
No, it doesn't.
It just needs to figure out the specific shape of the echo in that specific cathedral so it can mathematically subtract it.
That shift in perspective changes the architecture entirely. Instead of using a bloated language model, the researchers build a targeted universal neural receiver using recurrent neural networks, or RNNs.
And they explored two specific models for this, right?
Yeah, they tested state-space models and the parallel reservoir. Both of these are specifically designed to mimic mathematical filters that invert convolution.
Here's where it gets really interesting for me. Because even if the network is highly streamlined to just focus on the echo, it still needs to learn what the echo looks like. We are still stuck with the problem of only having 16 tiny pieces of training data per sub-millisecond.
You've hit the central tension of the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And the researchers solved it with a philosophy that I honestly find incredibly elegant.
Which is?
They said, by telling our neural network what we know, we avoid extensive offline training.
Telling the network what we know. I mean, I like the sound of that, but practically speaking, how do you tell an AI what you know?
You pre-wire certain parts of the network based on established physics and telecom domain knowledge. The researchers deliberately fixed the poles of the filters inside the AI.
Okay, you lost me at poles. Are we talking about magnets here?
Not magnets, no. In signal processing, the poles of a filter dictate its impulse response.
Okay, English, please.
To use your cathedral analogy, the poles dictate how long that echo is going to survive before it fades away and how intense the reverberations will be.
Oh, I see. So rather than the AI guessing how long an echo might last, we just hard code the rules of echoes into it.
Exactly. Wireless channels behave in statistically predictable ways. Telecom engineers have spent decades measuring radio environments all over the world, compiling this into standardized 3GPP channel models.
So they just took all that existing homework.
Right. They took all that hard-won homework and used it to design a reservoir of fixed poles inside the neural network.
Wow. So they are building the shape of the room into the AI before it even turns on.
And they configure it brilliantly. They place a high density of poles close to what engineers call the unit circle, which handles the longer, more persistent echoes, and a sparse density of poles near the origin for the short echoes.
That is so smart.
Yeah. And the AI doesn't have to learn any of this because the poles are fixed.
So what does the AI actually use the 16 tiny training data points for?
It only uses them to train the weights of the network.
The weight.
Yeah, denoted as way in the math. The weights just decide how much of each pre-configured pole to use at that specific microsecond. You take the millions of variables a normal AI would have to calculate and reduce it to a handful.
So what does this all mean? It sounds like it's a Mad Libs template.
Huh, yes.
Because the telecom engineers already wrote the entire grammatical structure of the story. The nouns, the verbs, the pacing. That's the poles based on the 3GPT data.
Exactly.
The AI doesn't have to write a whole novel from scratch every millisecond. It just uses its 16 tiny data points to fill in a few blank words, which are the weights to complete the picture.
That is precisely how it works. And they added some really clever architectural tweaks to this template.
Like what?
They included skip connections, which allow the network to handle extra delay parameters. It essentially gives it the flexibility to model more complex mathematical functions, like rational functions.
Oh, nice.
And because the network ultimately has to translate this into discrete digital data like jumping between that robust QPSK and the delicate 1024 QAM we discussed earlier, they placed a nonlinear unit at the very end of the receiver to handle that specific sorting.
Okay, so the theory is beautiful. You cheat the AI's learning curve by baking the actual physics of wireless directly into the architecture. But does it work?
That is the big question.
Right. Does this physical Mad Libs AI actually perform better than the fiercely debated, highly optimized math models currently running the world's 5G networks?
Well, they didn't test this in a padded lab with perfect conditions. They tested the neural receiver on a 3.8 gigahertz carrier frequency with 256 subcarriers.
Which is exactly the crowded, high-frequency environment of a busy downtown 5G network.
Exactly.
What were they testing it against?
Conventional, state-of-the-art signal processing methods. The benchmark was the LMMSE receiver.
Let's define that really quickly. LMMSE.
Linear minimum mean square error. It's basically the most mathematically optimized linear guesswork we currently have for filtering out noise. It's the industry standard.
Okay, so they run the simulation. They simulate a user moving at 30 kilometers per hour using standard MIMO OFDM waveforms. Basically, someone watching a high-definition video in a car driving through a city. What happened?
The neural receiver achieved more than a 2 decibel gain over the LMMSE receiver.
Wow. For anyone who doesn't natively speak decibels, a 2 decibel gain in the wireless world is huge.
It really is.
It translates to a massive reduction in dropped packets. It means your phone doesn't have to burn its battery power, constantly re-asking the tower for missed data. No buffering.
It is a significant leap. Yep. And remarkably, it achieved this with lower computational complexity than the traditional models.
Wait, really? Lower complexity?
Yes. But the second test they ran is where the implications get wild. They swapped out the standard waveform for something called MIMO OTFS.
OTFS is designed specifically for extreme high-speed scenarios, right?
Yes. They simulated a user moving at 450 kilometers per hour.
450 kilometers per hour. I mean, that is a bullet train. The physical environment outside the train window is changing so fast, it's just a blur.
Right.
The convolution echo is completely different every single microsecond.
And using delicate 16 QAM modulation, the neural receiver achieved even larger gains. Over a 2 decibel improvement compared to the ILSMR receiver, which is a highly complex traditional receiver designed specifically for those speeds.
So the AI perfectly untangled the signal while moving at bullet train speeds, learning on the fly with almost zero data.
Yep.
But the thing that stands out to me here isn't just the speed. It's that it worked across two completely different underlying technologies. It worked for OFDM and it worked for OTFS.
Which is exactly why the authors call this a universal receiver.
Yeah.
Because it is fundamentally grounded in the physics of convolution, it doesn't really care what specific waveform technology the cell tower is using to transmit the data.
It just deconvolves the physics.
Exactly. Just deconvolves the physics.
This feels like it could cause a massive earthquake in the telecom industry. If this receiver is truly universal and waveform agnostic, what happens to the endless, highly technical international debates?
You mean the standards meetings?
Yeah. The 3GPP meetings where engineers fight over which wireless standard is the best for 6G. Do those become obsolete? Will our phones just organically adapt to whatever signal is thrown at them?
The researchers actually point to that exact outcome. A universal receiver simplifies the standards process immensely. You don't need a rigid global consensus on a single waveform for the next 10 years.
That's incredible.
You can just let base stations innovate, introduce new modulations, experiment with different frequencies, and the neural receiver in your pocket will just organically figure it out on the fly. It drastically lowers the barrier for innovation.
It is a total paradigm shift. Let's bring this all together. We started by looking at the staggering chaos of the cellular air interface, a sub-millisecond war zone where the rules change millions of times a second.
Right.
We saw how our massive offline AI models completely freeze up in that environment because they can't adapt to new cities and they don't have enough reference data to relearn the room on the fly.
But by reframing the problem as physical deconvolution, the researchers found a shortcut.
Yeah.
By preloading the neural network with the domain knowledge of how radio waves naturally decay, those fixed poles in the reservoir we talked about, The AI only has to use its tiny sliver of data to adjust the weights.
It's just filling in the blanks of a physics puzzle every fraction of a millisecond. So to you listening right now, the next time you are sitting on a high-speed train, moving at hundreds of kilometers an hour, and your phone perfectly streams a video without a single stutter.
It's a modern miracle, honestly.
It is. Remember the invisible mechanics under the glass? It might very well be thanks to a tiny universal AI physically untangling the airwaves in real time.
It is a phenomenal example of what happens when you combine heavy machine learning with deep physical domain knowledge.
It really is. But before we go, I want to leave you with one final, slightly provocative thought to chew on.
I guess let's hear.
It builds directly on a concept that was briefly mentioned in the abstract of this paper, but they didn't fully explore it. It's called ISIC integrated sensing and communications.
Oh, wow. Yeah. A very hot topic in 6G right now.
Right. Think about what we just spent the last deep dive discussing. If this new AI-native physical layer is perfectly mapping the physical room, if it's perfectly calculating the exact location of the walls, the moving cars outside, the couch in your living room, just to map the echo and optimize a text message.
I see where you're going with this.
Could that exact same technology be flipped? If the 6G network already knows the physical shape of the environment perfectly, could it act as a pervasive, real-time radar system?
That's the dream of ISAC, yeah.
Yeah. Imagine a world where your devices can literally see the physical world, detect micro-movements, or map the exact dimensions of a dark room, entirely and purely through the way invisible wireless signals bounce around the space. If the network already knows the shape of the echo, what else could it tell us about the room?
When the receiver understands the physics of the space, that intimately, communication and sensing basically become the exact same thing.
Something to think about the next time you look at that smooth piece of glass in your hand.